Liz on Biz is brought to you by the Women's Business League, the only networking organization where women come together to connect, support, and grow authentically. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just getting started, WBL is the place where genuine networking brings real results for your business. Join me, I'm a member, and sign up for a virtual membership, or you can join one of their local chapters at womensbusinessleague.com. Want to be a lead magnet? It starts with using better words on your website. Hey, I'm Liz Teresa, and I'm here to tell you that improving your copy is the absolute easiest, quickest, and most cost-effective way to get more clients and cash rolling in. Go to freecopyvideo.com to download my free copywriting training. See you there. Hello, and welcome to the Liz on Biz podcast, where the guests are barely prepped and I'm barely ready. I'm your host, Liz Teresa, and I help you launch, build online businesses you love. This podcast is all about entrepreneurship, and I hope you like it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Liz on Biz. Here with me today is Susan Leahy. She is the founder of robertsrulesmadesimple.com. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Oh, Liz, thank you. I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you, truly. And you have this like effervescence that like, it's just really nice.
It's bizarrely true. I think I had no choice because my mother was a professional clown. And
was she really?
It's in the genes. It's in the genes.
How long did she clown?
She clowned for her entire life. She would do parties and events. And so I always had a clown at every party. She ran a clown school out of our home called the Golden Clowns of Hemet, where she would teach clowning, the art of clowning, to retirees to give them something positive and fun to do. So my house would be like a clown car sometimes, where clowns would just be coming out of my house.
Oh, my God. And was she funny? Like, is she still with you?
No, my mom died actually 20 years ago.
Oh. Yeah.
And she's still with me. Absolutely. Every day. Her joy is very much alive in me,
yeah,
in my life. And so she continues to be a source of joy for me.
That's crazy. It's so interesting. I knew like there was a lady that was a dental hygienist that I knew because she was my hygienist only for once because the dentist was so creepy. So like I left that office. Like, but the hygienist was a clown and like her husband was a clown.
Mm.
And I think the son did clown stuff.
Yeah. And that's how I actually made my money when I was a kid. She'd take me on her little clowning gigs and I'd be her clown assistant.
Oh, so were you like a junior clown?
I was a junior clown. I'd go and I'd dress up in my clown outfit and I'd have my makeup on and I was her little clown assistant. I'd set up her tricks and my mom painted. She was so, yeah, she was just so creative. She painted this, it was a refrigerator box. And it's one of my just core memories as a child. And you know how you give party favors away, the little bags?
Yeah.
That used to be really popular. So my mom didn't just want to give those to the kids. She made the kids go fishing for those. So she painted this refrigerator box like a big ocean. And I
Wow.
in the back and I have a spray bottle. And the kids would take a little bamboo rod and they drop a little pin like with the clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to act like a fish. And it was one of my, I was so proud of my fishing skills. I'd put the little bag on and then I'd spray them when they'd say splash.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was a really fun core memory.
That's amazing. I love how some people, like I worked at a grocery store and you were clowning. You were junior clowning.
Yeah. Junior clowning. Yeah.
That's amazing. And so like, I feel like you've clearly taken the joy with you.
Well, and I think that's why I've been so successful with what I've been doing with Robert's Rules of Order, because that couldn't be more dry.
Yeah.
Robert's Rules of Order isn't something that people are like, yes, let's learn about how to run better meetings with Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah. And who is Robert? Because you're Susan. So
I'm Susan.
Explain yourself.
Well, Robert is the other man in my marriage, you know, so that's the safest throuple you can have. So he actually published a book back in 1876. He was a general in the army, and he was asked to chair some meetings. They were completely kind of in disarray. So he wrote a book called Robert's Rules of Order, which is it's all based on parliamentary law. Mm-hmm. And it was a little teeny pamphlet. People loved how Robert ran his meetings. So they'd be like, Robert, where's your rules? So he published a book in 1876, which has now become the parliamentary authority that boards use to run their meetings. And so it's the most popular parliamentary authority. You use it in governments, you use it in associations, you use it in student governments, you use it in faculty governments, you use it in homeowners associations. You know, it's how you handle the business of your meetings.
That's really it. And so you gravitated to, how did you gravitate to Robert?
Okay, so we're going to go back to my mother. She's a beautiful theme in this conversation. Yeah. My mom actually served on the local city council for 5 years in my town. And dare I say that board was a difficult, toxic, and it was a misogynistic board. She was the only woman on an all-male board. And my mom served for 5 years. But at the beginning of her service, she realized, oh, I have to use Robert's Rules of Order. I had gone in, watched one of the meetings, and she asked me when I was about 14 or 15 years old if I wanted to join her in a junior college level class on this Robert's Rules of Order thing. And so my mom and I just checked ourselves into this class. It was a weird mother-daughter bonding experience. And that's when I first met Robert. And I didn't realize at the time how important that was going to become in my now. I've been doing this for 20 years.
Wow.
20 plus years. I launched Robert's Rules Made Simple back in 2002 and have worked with thousands of boards, hundreds of board chairs, really helping the board foster a healthy board dynamic through Robert's Rules of Order. And for me, I think that's why my trainings are different, because I'm not saying that the board gave my mother cancer, but the toxic environment sure didn't help her diagnosis.
No, that's true.
And I think that we need to bring a little bit more life back into our meetings, because we forget that everyone's life is important. And, you know, we say time equals, and I use this as an equation in my time equals what? And everybody says money. But I'm always like, that's half true, because time equals life.
I still charge for the time that I tell stories and we really connect in meetings, because I'm still there for you.
Yeah.
I don't consider it wasted time.
No.
You know what I mean?
But it can become a wasted time
if you have no
understanding of the process and when it becomes a talk. Like, let's look at how many relationships are dysfunctional?
Yeah.
Lots of dysfunctional relationships.
Yeah.
Right? We don't need to learn how to be dysfunctional people. We need to learn skills and become intentional about becoming more functioning. And so that's what my work is. Both, you know, I have work that I call it from the boardroom to the bedroom. So I work with people who really want to have joy and alignment and balance in every room that they walk into. And so I have an expertise in the boardroom with Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah.
And this year I'm celebrating my 20th wedding anniversary, which is crazy.
So congratulations.
I just turned 50. So I feel like, whoa.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
And it gave me the opportunity to kind of reflect and realize I got 2020 vision, people. You know, 20 years in the boardroom and then 20 years really in a successful, happy marriage. And so that's what I've always talked about, really supporting people to have a healthier dynamic, healthier relationships, healthier communication. And Roberts is just that tool.
Is that very rigid?
People can't see us, but this is the...
I thought it'd be smaller.
Rules of Order. No, Roberts looks like the Bible. It's a 700-page book that is as dry as, you know, as dry can be.
Why did you like it then? Is it because you went with your mom?
You know what? It's interesting because I have a really, I have an interesting personality, because I think if people meet me, they're like, wow, you're creative and you're energized and you're, but I'm also I'm a total Taurus.
Yeah.
I like to be grounded and I like there to be order.
Yeah.
And I think that there can be order in relationships. And I think that there can be order in spiritual conversations. And I think there can be order in the boardroom. And when people have an agreed upon process, then all of a sudden we can access each other's humanity in a different way. You know, my husband and I, my husband's never sat in a board meeting ever in his life, but he's edited all my videos and he's my business partner.
Yeah.
He's learned about Roberts through our work together, and we use it in our marriage all the time.
Is that kind of like, and I don't want to like, this is what I think as an outsider. Is that kind of like when you start a meeting and you're like, what's the old business?
Yeah. The old business, the new business.
The new business.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there emotion?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Yeah, and yeah.
So all in, that is, that's Robert's Rules of Order. That's
okay.
The procedure. So it's the rules of that we're going to follow to make business decisions.
And you modernize this though, right? For like,
I have no hope but to modernize it because I'm modern.
You have to, because
he's old. He's very dead.
He's not here. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a man.
And he'd say like, hear ye.
Yeah. It would be 1876. So it was a while ago, but the book has been updated. Mm-hmm. It's gone through 12 revisions. And it is the dominant parliamentary authority that boards use to run their meetings. So if any of your listeners are in any leadership position, this is a really powerful skill to be able to understand. And it's understanding the fundamentals of how to make business decisions in a meeting. And when you can do that, you are the leader of that meeting.
I love this. Do you feel like it's underutilized perhaps by leaders that are like, well, that won't apply to me because I just have a small team.
Yeah.
Or that won't apply. And like, what would you say to them? Well,
and I would say that
is, yeah.
Nobody's going out saying, I want to become an expert in Robert's Rules of Order. You're a parliamentarian and you're best that way. But what I've really discovered is that once you understand what I call the seven fundamental motions, it's just seven small motions. And that's how you ask a business question, how to formulate the question, how to focus on the question, how to get to a solution on that question. If you can understand the seven fundamental motions, which is what I review in my online trainings.
Yeah.
Once you understand Roberts formally, you can apply it informally in any conversation that you're in. So it's a really powerful and useful tool to add to your toolbox. If you're in any type of leadership position, whether professional or personal.
I feel like, I think a lot of people can relate to boards because there's a lot of nonprofits, for example, and nonprofits always have boards.
Always have boards. And Roberts is a stumbling block, which creates a lot of tension. And it also creates a lot of intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in and I create a lot of relief for my clients because they're like, oh, it really can be simple. You know, people know I have to use Robert's Rules of Order. It sounds very, very official.
Yeah.
Create some tension. And there's a lot of professionals who spend their career masking their not understanding it. They go into the meeting room and they SNN, they smile and nod. And they kind of are just going with the flow in the meeting, but they're not really then able to leverage their own voice because
they don't know when they can use it.
That's right. That's right.
Because you'd wonder. Like I went to a meeting yesterday and it was like of a networking group and there was a lot, I wouldn't say it was exactly Roberts, but it was akin to Roberts because there was more, it was structure. It wasn't like you walk in and you're just kind of walking around chatting. It wasn't like that kind of loose networking. It was like you sat down, you did an order for food. Okay. And then there was like, There was an agenda. Order like to when this is this time we're going to talk about this. And then she was like, okay, rings the bell. There was a bell too, which is a little formal, very formal.
Yeah.
And then like she rung a bell.
So welcomed. So welcomed, right?
Yeah.
There's a process that
she rung in the next topic.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I would say is that's a form. Like once you understand how to use Robert's form, you can apply it informally. There is a need. There is a need for structure. Like structure creates reliability. It's a rhythm, right? There's it's like a beat in a song. We like rhythm. Mm-hmm. We like that because we can all get around the rhythm. And so many times when you're in a meeting, whether it's personal or professional, if there's no rhythm, there's chaos.
Yes.
You have to have a rhythm or you got chaos.
It's just noise.
It's just noise.
Oh my God, that's so true. Because I feel like when you go into a meeting, and I feel like it's not just for people that have meetings that grow toxic, and it's not just for people that have meetings where somebody stinks or something.
Yeah.
I think it's for anyone that maybe even wants to get more out of the meetings that they already are in.
Why do we want to get more out of our meetings that we're in?
So there's less meetings?
Equals life.
Oh, that too.
That's it. Because I'm going to get more out of the meeting because I'm wasting my life. If I walk out of the meeting and my energy is drained and I feel like I've wasted my time, really what we're saying is you've just wasted my life. Well, and we have to start playing at that level.
Well,
your life is important.
You raised the stakes so hard. That tent is blown away.
Like in the best way. I want to play with people who are playing at that level.
Yes.
Like yes. A Zoom meeting, when I'm on a Zoom meeting, everyone's like, another Zoom meeting. No, we are, this is our life.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Right? Isn't that beautiful?
It's like literally cry with you about this. It's Harris Robert. Get him out here.
Come here, Robert.
Do you ever feel like when people ask you if you could have dinner with anybody, dead or alive, would you pick him?
No, I would pick my mom.
Yeah. Okay, because you could pick two people. Would you pick him?
I don't even know if I'd pick him.
You would never pick him?
I don't know.
I feel like
that's
he's hurt.
A good question. That it's funny. I've never gotten further than my mom. My mom died almost like 19 years ago.
Yeah.
That's who I would love to hang out with again in physical form.
Same.
Yeah. Is your mom gone?
Yeah. I lost my mom in 2023.
Okay.
I talk about her so much. The listeners are probably like, Liz, you got to get it over. You know, but like, I love her so much.
You know what's so beautiful about that? Yeah. Though? And, you know, I have two children and I just love knowing that no matter where I go, I'm always going to be their mom.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, my mom is so my mom. And she's always going to be my mom. And I have a closeness to her. And I'm so grateful for this because I know this isn't the experience for everyone. But I have a closeness to her and her death that I think is beautiful.
Yeah, that's really, that is beautiful. My mom comes to me a lot in dreams.
Yeah.
A lot.
So that means your mom just comes to you then.
Yeah, she does. She demands it, I think. Yeah. Or I demand her.
What was your mom's name?
Donna.
Donna. My mom was Janet.
Oh, yeah. These are, hi, mom. This one goes out to all the moms out
there. That's right. When you're a mom, you're going to always.
So they're with Robert right now. Wow. Really?
Yeah, they're hanging. Oh, my God. I never thought of that.
They're with, like, in fact.
Wow. You're like.
Perhaps they could be at this table
hanging out with Robert
in heaven.
Mom, am I making Robert proud?
I think he'd be a little jealous that you don't want to have dinner with him right away. But like, I think he has to understand you have priorities.
It might be appropriate because in his time in 1876, it wasn't appropriate for a woman to have dinner with a man.
That's true. But like now he'd be like a modern rock.
And he's
like,
evolved. Yeah, he's evolved.
Maybe he has like an iPhone in heaven. And like,
yeah, you know, I would love to have that conversation. Yeah, it would be fun to sit down with him.
It would be interesting.
Yeah.
Even I feel like it would, I bet like he never knew. It sounds like he saw a problem, and he sought to solve it. So he was really an entrepreneur.
Also did, but what it also did is it wasn't just about what Robert did. It's that the people, because Robert could have written that book and had that pamphlet, but if it didn't work for the people in the room, no one would have walked up to him and said, "Hey, Robert, can you give me a copy of your rules?" So it was not about Robert. It was about what it created for the people in the room. And that really is what I'm interested in, is that it supported the dynamic. It supported people feeling more confident to communicate and to be seen and to be heard and to be respected and to be able to get to solution, right? Because there's nothing more motivating than a meeting where work actually gets done.
Love that.
Right?
What do you think about rules in general? Like, are you, because you said you're a Taurus, you like rules and you like structure.
I like to be grounded. I like to know what the rules are. I don't like rules for rules' sake.
Yeah.
I will rail against the rules.
Yeah.
You know, if you just come in and you have a, that's why I was horrible in corporate America. I remember I was a corporate trainer and I was doing some training and I'd spend all day in the training room. And then one day he came up to me and he's like, "You need to sit in your desk after your training so that it appears that we're all working." And I was like, my work is in the training room and I'm not going to follow this rule just to make it appear like we're working. I'm not up for appearances. So I don't like rules for rules' sake. Drives me crazy, drains my energy.
Yes.
My energy is important. Why? Because my life is important.
Yes. 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 I remember I wore a shirt to, I was a cashier when you were a clown. So a long time ago. And so I had this shirt that they gave us to wear and it was like a collared shirt, but like for women, it was like It was it had pleat. It was pleated.
Yeah.
So like you would wear it, but you would never tuck it because it was a pleated shirt.
Yeah.
Like it was the kind that you don't tuck.
Yeah.
And our store manager was like, oh, everybody has to tuck in their shirt. Go tuck in your shirt. And I said, you can't tuck this in. And he said, why? And I said, it's pleated.
Yeah.
And then he didn't
look right.
And then he like was like embarrassed and he left me alone. But I was like, that's like a rule for rule's sake to just walk up and say,
I don't like rules for rule's sake.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So I just was like, no.
No.
I was like, you can't tuck in a pleated shirt. I was like, that's like,
you know what's so beautiful and so bold and so wonderful is that you have agency to question the rules.
Yeah.
And so what does happen a lot of times in formal meetings is that people just get stuck in the circumstantial drift. And they don't really question, is what we're doing helping us be more productive?
Yeah.
You know, if something in the meeting isn't working, then we need to look at it and we need to shift it and change it, not just do it because we've always done it that way. You know, but we do need to make sure that everyone in the room has a collective understanding of the fundamentals so that we can make business decisions.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like it takes the emotion out of it.
Yeah. And so that you can bring your emotion in a positive way.
Yes.
And so, you know, like, I think sometimes people feel stifled by rules.
Uh-huh.
But for me, I think it's freedom. If I really make sure that I'm clear that, okay, this is how we're going to handle this item of business. First, I'm going to entertain a motion. After the motion, I'm going to ask for a second. Once that motion is seconded, I'm going to repeat the motion and I'm going to invite discussion. Please keep all discussion about the motion on the floor. When there is no more discussion, we will vote on the motion.
Yeah.
I think setting the groundwork like that puts everybody at ease because they know how to participate.
It's like actually why a presidential debate, for example,
yeah,
if they followed the rules a bit more, but whenever they do follow the rules, it makes it make sense. So you can even listen and understand what they're saying.
And unfortunately, we have forgotten about civil discourse and our presidential debates have turned into a cage match.
Yeah.
And I think that's really sad.
It is very sad.
I think it's a sad perspective to turn into, to have our politics turn into a reality show.
Oh, it's really awful.
Emotion, but it doesn't evoke positive emotion.
Oh, no, it's all fear and crazy and gross.
It's crazy making.
Yeah, it's crazy making. I can listen to 10% of it.
Yeah, I can disagree with you and I can still respect you.
Yes.
You know,
why is that? I mean, but why don't people do that?
Because we watch too much reality television. We think that reality television is reality. So again, I'm going to go back to my point.
Yeah.
Meetings don't need to learn how to be dysfunctional. Relationships don't need to learn how to be dysfunctional. Couples don't need to learn how to be dysfunctional. We see examples of that, whether we were raised with them or we're working with them, or we turn on our TV and we see them. But I think there's a deeper wanting to learn how to be functional and how to be actually happy.
And now you talked about, what were you going to say?
Please, that's it.
Well, you said this thing earlier. I like when you say it. You say, my life is too important. And I feel like we can all relate to this, right? Because life is important. And if life is important, that's why I think people are always like, oh, another meeting or oh, another Zoom or oh, do we have to Zoom? Like, does it really have to be a meeting?
And nobody thinks about it at that level. They're thinking about it being a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
What's wild is that people are willing to waste their time. But what we forgot is that time is life.
And then do you think meetings are a waste, or do you think it's that they don't have enough structure?
I think it's because there isn't enough intention with respect to setting up the context. What do you want people to think or feel?
Yeah.
And how are we going to, what's the structure of how we're going to make business decisions? You know, we have to be more intentional. I mean, that's what this work is this work for me is transferable. You know, it is the same conversation, whether you're wanting to up-level your conversation with your husband.
Uh-huh.
So this is what's interesting about me, Liz, is that sometimes clients will bring me in because there's a major breakdown and they're about to go to lawyers.
Oh, wow.
And I've been in rooms where seated board members were being sued by board members. And that's a contentious environment. And so same thing with couples that I've worked with. They were one step close to divorce. right? This is where they're going. They're going.
So you work with couples on this stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I bring order into relationships.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and so when you have order in relationships, then you can have a lot more fun.
Yeah.
When you're, you know, doing everything else. Well, somewhere else.
No, but I think it's true. I mean, it's true. And like, you know, the rules of the game. And I mean, even like when I think about meetings, sometimes I feel like when I don't want to do a meeting, it's if there is no intention, because you said it's all about the intent.
Intention.
And if there's no intention other than to talk, I don't need that.
Oh my God.
Totally honest with you.
Of life. That's a waste of life.
It is a waste of life. I always tell people that if you insist on talking to me for some reason and you don't have a specific reason, you'll tell me in advance, then you have to use my 15-minute link because I don't have all this time.
No, I'm not going to just give. Well, and
I can't just give it away.
The deadliest meeting in everyone's life, the deadliest meeting is when the person walks up to you and goes, hey, do you have a minute?
Oh, yeah.
They're about to trap you into, you know,
something.
And I look at people and I say, no, I don't have 1 minute. I have 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I have 4 minutes. What do you need? Right.
Yeah.
So it's that sense of trying to like get out of the wasteful meeting.
Yes.
Just
yes.
An agenda that isn't going anywhere. If I know that I'm sitting out and I'm having a glass of wine with my girlfriends and we're just about to waste time with, you know, then I
different.
Know it's not even a waste of time because that's what
quality
I'm
quality time. Yeah.
Right? It's quality time. I'm having fun. At least I know what that meeting is about.
Mm-hmm.
But these skills are so transferable. And I kind of feel like sometimes I'm the person that's one step before people go to the lawyer. You know, and what was remarkable for me is that with this, they were a water board.
Yeah.
And, we went in and we did a training with them all about how to foster a healthier dynamic. We taught them about Robert's Rules of Order. We talked to them about their structure. And in their next meeting, they unanimously voted to drop the lawsuit.
Wow.
Because lawyers are not a good use of life.
You know what's interesting about this? I have a friend who's an attorney. But she's also a mediator and she loves mediation.
Yeah. Yeah. More than I.
Are you a mediator too? Or like, do you think mediators learn?
Before the mediator, I'm not at the legal level. I'm at the level where I'm inviting people to really think differently about the conversations they're in. And I give them some tools to be
able to. Are the separate before it.
I am the step before the mediator.
They just have to learn what you teach. They mediate on Robert's rules.
Yeah. Well, no,
or not necessarily.
Your mediators are going to have some kind of structure with respects to how they're running that meeting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
First, you're going to talk and then you're going to talk. And I bet you they lay that structure out clearly in the beginning. So again, it's about facilitation skills.
Mm.
I work with a lot of meeting chairs. So someone gets, I always say, congratulations, you've just been elected president. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry. You've just been elected president, right? It's kind of like an excited, but also kind of scary thing. And so they're going to find themselves running and chairing these meetings. And I work at the level of both up-leveling their confidence with Robert's Rules of Order, which is the process, which in turn then opens the conversation to up-leveling their personal confidence so that they feel more in control. They feel more grounded. They know they can trust themselves. They'll know what to say.
And it's okay to ask for an agenda too. Like if somebody wants
to... Well, it's not a meeting if there's no agenda.
Yeah,
right?
That is so good. It's such a simple thing to say, but like, I'm like, this is what people need to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a meeting if there's no agenda.
That's right. We need to become more intentional about our meetings because we need to remember that we're playing not a game of time, but a game of life.
Oh, God.
And when we operate at that level as leaders and as peoples and as humans and as women and as men, then all of a sudden we can start valuing the life of everybody in the room because I'm valuing my life. You know, and so this skill of Robert's Rules of Order is it's one of those bizarre little skills that's going to follow you everywhere because I don't care who you are. You're going to make decisions. You're going to make decisions. And so you have to have a structure to make decisions. So if you understand the 7 fundamental motions, as I kind of share in my simple, then you all of a sudden have an access point to, oh, okay, I now know how to make decisions. And you can do that in your personal life. Like my husband and I, we have to do it all the time because we have businesses and babies and, you know.
Yeah. And don't let ChatGPT decide things for you.
No. You know, at the end of the day, can I just, I'm down to go on to my soapbox. I heard you talking about AI. in one of the last podcasts.
And no, definitely.
And I just, for me, I've really thought about this. If you think about it, our business meetings are the one space where AI cannot infiltrate. You can put the agendas together. You could build your script using AI. But the moment human beings utter a motion, I move to approve, that motion becomes total humanity. And then we are there as humans discussing this issue. Now, we might use AI to kind of give us some information about it, but the act of making a decision is the most human thing we have left.
Yes. Yes.
And so we need to really think about that related to the boardroom, because we need to empower people's voice so that they can, when they utter that, they understand how their voice is going to shape a decision that's going to impact the people they're there to serve. And AI can't do that.
I love that. I love that. I just taught a very short class, like an abbreviated version of my AI 101. And I taught it yesterday to that group with the bell and all the stuff.
Yep.
And like, what was so interesting about it is like one of my favorite things to teach is how to not use it. And one of the things is don't ever use it as a replace for decision-making and human judgment.
You can't. Like, you can't. And that's what's so beautiful, because if you look at it related to a married couple, there is a point in their relationship when the two of them have to make the decision. Mm-hmm. My husband's amazing. He's like, let's ask AI about that, right? I also am like, let's ask AI about that. So I love that AI is able to add to the conversation. But at the end of the day, the decision is going to be made by my husband and I.
Yes.
Two beautiful human beings being human. There is nothing more human than making a collective decision.
Yes.
Whoa.
There's goosebumps.
I know, right? It's exciting to think about that.
Yeah.
If we can really remember that and up-level people to want
have more agency.
Structure. Have more agency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love that part.
Because I feel like these rules, and even just thinking about the giant, I feel like the overarching thing here is the idea that everything should have structure and intention.
Every relationship.
Yes.
If it's going to make a decision. And if that relationship isn't going to break down and actually be a healthy relationship, requires structure.
And then without it, how you can't have, there's no room for agency.
There's just misunderstanding. And
there's all like chaos. Yeah.
There's just chaos. It's either you're going to have a rhythm or you're going to have chaos and noise. And some people, you know, they get married, and that, like, that's the biggest business we're in is marriage.
Yeah.
The biggest business we're in. And you're in the boardroom with your husband, whether you think you are or not.
Yeah.
When you're making decisions about what house we're going to buy or not buy, or where our kids are going to go to school, or, you know, like, there's so many decisions that are being made.
And I feel like when marriage is stale, somebody stops coming to the boardroom is what happens.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. As I've been there.
Yeah.
A first husband. But I'm like, if I looked at that, like, in this lens with structure, I'm like, stop coming.
Yeah.
And what's
beautiful is what, and I don't think that there's failure in relationships ending because not all relationships should stay together.
That's true. But I mean, looking at that, that's definitely.
But there are some relationships that had a good shot, but they weren't taught how to implement a structure that would up level and support them to be successful. We almost expect marriages to fail. I would like to expect them to succeed.
Yeah.
Support by giving people a structure, because I love love. I love love. I love the business of love. I've had so much fun being in love, and I want more people in the world to have more fun being in love, because the world would be a better world.
I love
just
that you
like
called
the
it the
be a better world.
The business of love.
It is the business of love.
And that's because love at its healthiest has structure.
Yes.
It's not a loosey-goosey.
No. No.
Crazy thing.
And now you can get loosey-goosey once in a while and get crazy.
Yeah.
But there's this agreed upon structure. So for me, this conversation and what Roberts has given to me from a really early age is it's given me a framework in which I've lived my life both professionally and personally.
Yeah.
And the other piece about me, and it's why it's called Robert's Rules Made Simple,
yeah,
is I'm really simple.
Yes.
I like it to be easy.
Same.
You know, that's why there's 7 fundamental motions. You don't need to read the whole 700-page book.
That's why I,
you know, talk about building a healthy context or energy in your meetings. It's called the high five context, mm-hmm, which is, you know, really saying, what do you want to think or feel as a result of your time, energy, and life in this meeting?
Yeah.
And you say, I want everyone to feel seen, heard, valued, safe, respected.
Oh, that's a nice five.
High five. Right? That feels...
We're doing it right now. We're doing it right now. As we're doing it, Zoom is like, are you raising your hand?
Yeah, Zoom cameras are like, we're...
It's like, yes, Liz, what would you like me to have?
Liz is raising her hand.
Liz on Biz has raised her hand.
Liz on Biz, raise your hand.
No, Susan, I am so interested in this. Tell everybody that's listening, you know, where... Do you have a way they can get started with Robert's Rules Made Simple?
Absolutely.
Tell everybody how they can find you and all that.
So if you're listening to this and I'm resonating at the level of, I would love to have this in my couple life with my husband and I, with my partner and I, for me as an individual, just to learn about love, you can go to Susan Leahy, and that's L-E-A-H-Y, SusanLeahy.com. And that's where you're going to see my kind of personal coaching, where I work at the individual level, couples level, really integrating both the bedroom and the boardroom so that you can really get into the business of love, as we were talking about today. And if you're interested in really learning Robert's Rules of Order, a great starting point is to visit my website, Roberts with an S, Rules with an S, Made Simple, robertsrulesmadesimple.com, and check out my Robert's Rules Made Simple individual training program. And if you are a meeting chair, run to my website and check out my Chair a Meeting with Confidence online training. There is no better training that will up-level your confidence when you're leading a room, whether you're using Robert's Rules of Order or not.
You guys, all the links will be in the show notes. I know I am checking everything out, Susan. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Liz, thank you for your life.
Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to subscribe, listen again later, tell your friends, leave a review, because all of that helps me do all of this. For show notes or more information, check out lizteresa.com/podcast.
Liz on Biz is brought to you by the Women's Business League, the only networking organization where women come together to connect, support, and grow authentically. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just getting started, WBL is the place where genuine networking brings real results for your business. Join me, I'm a member, and sign up for a virtual membership, or you can join one of their local chapters at womensbusinessleague.com.